Hello, I'm Amanda McNulty, and this is a Making It Grow Extra, one of our podcasts. Today, I'm speaking with Eric Benson, who is a professor and entomology specialist in urban entomology. Eric, thanks for being with us, and you have been participating with us on some filmed Making It Grows, and we talked about, for a short period of time, people having mosquito management.
Mm-hmm.
Done by
yes.
professionals in their yard, and how that how effective it is, and how that impacts the non-target beneficial insects. So, if you could recap, and we'll go through the various permutations and different things that are available besides that one option, please.
Yeah, sure, Amanda. In years back, most mosquito control in communities was community-based. There would be a lot of people know the trucks that sometimes drive by in some communities and fog for mosquitoes at night. Depending where you live, they may do water treatments and so on and so forth. But really with the Zika concerns a few years ago, but also with West Nile virus, which is still a concern that's still around, more and more homeowners were starting to have mosquito treatments specifically for their backyards. And there are whole companies that's all they do is what we call backyard mosquito control. So there's a lot going on. It's perfectly legal. But if you are a gardener, if you are concerned about non-targets and especially your pollinators, then you want to make sure that any mosquito control that's going on is well done, properly targeted, to help control those pesky mosquitoes, but avoid killing your pollinators or the other non-target beneficial insects that we have in our backyards.
Eric, I've heard some applicators talk about this at some professional meetings, and they say the first thing they do is go around and try to eliminate all places that they can that hold standing water. And then besides that, do they mostly use the same insecticide product, and I guess they must have to go around and spray all the bushes and places where mosquitoes would be. I don't see what else they could do, particularly. Kind of walk us through what they do when they actually start making applications and what they're using.
Sure. Well, I hope the first thing they do is when they get there, they walk around the site, the house, the property, and first monitor and inspect and basically come up with a plan. And even if it's an account they have, every time they go, they should check because new things may develop. There may be a new container of water that wasn't there before. And dumping the water, whether it's you, the homeowner, or the professional, if you see that standing water that mosquitoes love to lay their eggs in and where they develop, and you can dump it, there's nothing better than doing that. Now, in some cases, you can't dump the water. There's tree holes or there's a container that just cannot be easily drained. So there's a number of products that they can use that they would choose. Some of them have what we call Bacillus thuringiensis, israeliensis, BTI. It's a naturally occurring bacillus, and it produces something that helps kill the mosquitoes. It's quite safe. Broad label. I use it in places around my property where I can't dump the water. And so pest control professionals and homeowners will do that. And
so
then if
that, excuse me, but does that affect adult mosquitoes or just the larvae?
Good question. It affects the larvae.
Okay,
it makes it where the larvae basically can't grow up and become an adult mosquito. And then there's a variety of products and application methods that they can use for adults. Most of them that have the more sophisticated equipment will use some sort of sprayer, maybe often a backpack sprayer, but it puts out a very fine particle and almost like a mist. So not like a fog, but more like a mist. And they will usually target, like treat and mist around the structure where mosquitoes like to rest.
Yes.
And so that's a good thing. But then they'll go out into vegetation and they'll usually mist around leaves and such, often trying to get on the underside of leaves. And of course, we hope wherever they get anywhere near blooming plants, they don't treat those areas. They avoid those areas because obviously that's where pollinators are going to be. Okay.
All right. And then and they come, as you say, frequently. And you've mentioned that this kind of was partially in response to the Zika threat, which are you entomologists expecting that that's going to move farther upward with the changes that we're seeing in climate?
Well, you always have a concern about insects moving their range with more milder temperatures with climate change. And South Carolina DHEC monitors for Zika and West Nile virus. I don't know exactly what they feel is going to happen. It seems to be different every year.
Okay.
But it's something that they'll keep up on. And sure, I mean, as we get more milder weather, warmer weather, then some of these insects can get deeper into our state. And so you just don't know where they're going to be.
So at the moment, they're still mostly a nuisance with the possibility of West Nile virus, which isn't as severe in most cases as the Zika would be, or as dangerous.
Yeah. Well, Zika was definitely quite the concern, although it didn't materialize in South Carolina for a variety of reasons, like it did in some other locations. I believe I think it was Miami, Florida had a problem. Nile virus is still there, is still a concern each year. It's not a huge number of people that are impacted, but it's more of a mainstay here in South Carolina.
Okay, you said that one of the milder things that they use were the BTI, Bacillus thuringiensis, Israeliensis, did I say it right? And that's what's in mosquito ducts. And we live in an old house and there's a cistern out in the yard that holds water. And I put one of those in there because I can't get in there and do anything else. Is that a safe thing for me to do?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I mean, whatever you use, read the label and make sure whatever you're using, it's labeled for the location that you're using it so that it's okay. But for what I know of the mosquito dunk product, that it should be fine.
Okay. Some higher end communities down towards the coast have emitters under the eaves of the house. You talk about those that tell me your feelings on those. It sounds like a good advertising promotion, but maybe not the very best thing from the standpoint of being effective and hitting just the target animal.
Yeah, I mean, people have them, and people they're not illegal, and they're used in some locations where people just have high mosquito pressure. And what they do is the ones I'm most familiar with is they have the plastic piping they often put under the soffits of your house, and they'll go to a tank of insecticide, and that insecticide will often mist out at some timed interval. You can put a timer on it. And so you'll get this mist of insecticide coming out. The problem is if it's on a timer, it may be misting out when there are no mosquitoes there. So you're not hitting your target. And you possibly could be misting things like butterflies or, you know, beetles or all the many other insects that are actually beneficial and not a problem. It's also putting a more of an insecticide load, even though each mist, there's not a whole lot of insecticide. But if you do that time and time and time again, you start to put out insecticide that can cause problems. It might take a while, but that's how resistance starts with a lot of insecticides, overuse of insecticides. So I think there's a lot of other things like we just were talking about, dumping the water. And of course, we didn't talk about ourselves, Amanda, but, you know, repel them, cover up, exclude. If you're going out in your yard, there's a lot you can do personally to avoid getting bitten by mosquitoes. Yes. So I'd rather see that than these automatic misting machines.
Okay. And then some people just swear by, or they did for a while, I haven't seen them as much lately, CO2 emitters that apparently drew the mosquitoes in.
Yeah.
What's the research on that?
Well, You know, in extension, you're supposed to make recommendations that are research-based. And unfortunately, I have not seen a strong research-based study that makes me feel like, yes, this is something you that it makes sense for people. Again, people buy them, and there's some people that swear by them. They put them out and they say they do a great job. I just haven't seen the data in a controlled study that it really does effectively impact the mosquitoes in an area. When these machines draw the mosquitoes in, you're going to catch mosquitoes, but yes. How many mosquitoes are out there? How far are they coming? Are you drawing more there? And then when they get there, if you're out there competing with the machine, are they going to decide to go to you? I've also looked at the bags that they catch, and they will catch other insects that are non-targets, mostly little flies and gnats that most people don't care about, but they are part of the food chain.
And those machines are based on the premise that mosquitoes are drawn by the exhalations of our breath.
Mosquitoes, yes, they smell us. And then they also see us. So the way that we look, they feel us. They feel the heat that we produce. So they're really adept at keying in on warm-blooded large mammals, which we are, because that's where they get their chow when they feed on our blood.
One thing you said that used to be popular was getting some kind of big fogger, and people would just go around and fog their whole yard. And that really you seem to think is probably the least environmentally sustainable practice. We're going to just dismiss that one, you think, is a good way to do that.
I'm not a fan of those either. Yes, and you can still buy them. You can still get them. And that puts out an insecticide fog that will waft over your property. And yes, you will kill mosquitoes, but you'll probably kill just about anything else that it wafts over. So you can go over a lot of non-targets. So I'd rather see if people are actually going to spray these very directed fine particle misters, you know, that with someone who knows what they're doing.
A professional. Now, you said there's a new product out that sounds quite fascinating.
Yeah.
The name is even interesting. So say the name for us carefully and then explain that new process, please.
Well, there's different kinds of mosquito traps, and we've talked about one. And there's some do-it-yourself homeowner traps that you can get. And they're usually oval-positioned traps that attract the mosquitoes to go into like a bucket and either get trapped or get an insecticide. But there's a product called IntuCare, IN2CARE.
Yes.
And that's come out, and that actually has had some good research behind it. I don't know that it's perfect. I've had some people say they swear by it, and other people say, I don't think it really worked that well. But they do have data there, and it's basically a big black bucket that's designed for a professional to use. They fill it with water. And it has a special top that will help when mosquitoes are attracted to it because they put in an odor attractant. Mm-hmm. They'll fly in and they go down into the bucket. And then there's a floating mesh in the bucket that's coated with a naturally occurring fungus, Bovaria bassiana, that we know that kills insects. It's been around forever. It's naturally occurring. And then an insect growth regulator. And it's designed that the mosquito lands on the mesh, gets this fungus and this growth regulator on their body, but then also pushes, you know, kind of makes it fall into the water. And then as the female lays her eggs, the eggs will hatch out and the larvae will start to develop. But that insect growth regulator will keep it where they don't fully develop to an adult.
Uh-huh. And then the fungus on the mother is going to...
Yeah, she gets the fungus on... She's spreading the disease, which is sort of appropriate right now to talk about. So she goes back out, and she may go to other sources, but she has the fungus on her that will slowly start to kill her. It probably will kill her within a few days, but she'll auto disseminate the fungus and probably also some of this insect growth regulator. So it's using quite a safe product, an insect growth regulator, the natural occurring fungus, and having the mosquito actually do the work for us, bringing it around.
So she might go to places that are very tiny places where water's standing that we wouldn't even be able to empty. So she might carry that around and actually help us get some control.
Exactly. She may be going to that tree hole that you don't even know about because it's high in the tree, or that forgotten toy that's holding water that you just don't know that's there, but she does. And so, yeah, it's pretty ingenious. But placement is important, and the number that you have for your property is important.
All right. Well, Eric, this has been a fascinating update for us. So many people are outside more frequently now because they're at home and doing gardening or just not going out in other places. And I want to thank you so much for sharing your information with us today.
Thank you.